Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship at Wesley Memorial. We're delighted to see you all here today. Welcome if you're here in the building in person. Welcome if you're worshiping on Zoom. Welcome if you're visiting us, or if you've been coming here for years and years and years, or if you're looking for a new church home in Oxford. Everybody is welcome. My name's Jenny. I'm on the stewards team here. And we also hope that you will join us for tea and coffee and squash, which is in the hall, which is through that door on your right. We would love the chance to get to know you better after the service. I just have a couple of notices for today. So one is we're very much looking forward to our concert next Saturday to celebrate our brand new grand piano. So that's at 7:30. A whole variety, lovely program of different types of music featuring the piano. It's free entry and a collection will be taken for the Rose Hill Community Cupboard. So do come if you can. And then I also wanted to let you know that the emergency appeal that we held last week for Christian AIDS work in Gaza has raised a really astonishing £1,350, which is brilliant. If you haven't had a chance to give yet and you would like to, I do still have a few of the emergency envelopes if you want to give in cash today, and the online page is still open. That will be open for a week or so more. I'm very happy to welcome Stephen Spain to lead our worship this morning. Stephen is a minister in the Oxford Circuit, so thank you very much, Stephen, for coming and leading our worship. And over to you.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you all this morning, and particularly wonderful to be here on a Rockfish Sunday. Lovely to have them leading the music. So let's just be still for a moment as we recognize that we're in the presence of God and that we have come to worship. We continue with our call to worship, which is on the screen. Please join in the words in yellow. Our God is holy. Our God is mighty. We gather in his house, in awe at his presence. Let us still our hearts and prepare to meet the Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. And so we sing our first song. And I invite you to stand as you're comfortable to do so as we sing number 13 from the book. The words will be on the screen. Blessing and honor.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Here we are, Lord, with our gifts and our gaps, our failures and our successes, our enthusiasm and our doubts, our unworthiness and our passion. Help us to hear your call to the adventure of a lifetime and to have the courage to say, "Here I am, send me." Holy and ever-living God, we praise you for allowing your kingdom to break through into our lives, for the things that to you are ordinary, but to us are extraordinary. And we thank you that you have called us to be part of your story. Ordinary people caught up in the extraordinary tale of your plan for salvation. The base metal of our tarnished natures turned to gold in your hands. Amen. Right. Younger people, I'm not quite sure what age younger starts at, but if you're a younger person, then apparently this is the bit where I speak to you. And I'm speaking to you as well. However old you are, you're still included. Do you want to come round this way? Make sure you can see a screen, because there's going to be some pictures pop up in a minute. What I want to know is, have any of you been on a boat? I know Oxford's a long way from the sea, but, you know, been on boats, yeah. Big ship? Big ships, yeah? You've been on a big ship? Brilliant. Have you been on a one where you've slept overnight? No? No. Been on one you sleep overnight? No? Yeah. Ooh, some nods, yeah? There might be some people who like to go on cruises around here as well, I think. But the only time I've been on a boat overnight was a long, long time ago when I was one of the young people. And we went on a boat from Newcastle all the way to Denmark. And we set off in the afternoon and we didn't get there until the following morning. So we had an evening and a night on the boat. And we set out of Newcastle onto the North Sea. It's a bit grim, the North Sea. But it was a beautiful mill pond that afternoon. It was as smooth as anything. And then we got to about after tea time. And it started to get a bit choppy, and choppier, and choppier, and choppier. And eventually we decided I needed to go and perhaps lie down. And we walked along the corridor. And the corridor was it was downhill, and then it was uphill, and then it was downhill again, and then uphill. And oh dear, it was terrible. Oh dear. There was water everywhere. Special effects. No extra charge. There was water everywhere. It was, and there was lots of people leaning over the side, I would say. And I'm afraid to say I had to join them. It was terrible. I've been put off going on boats by that experience. But I want to tell you about somebody who lived a very long time ago, who went on big sea journeys. And he was called Brendan. Brendan the Navigator. He was a Celtic saint. And he lived 1,500 years ago. So we don't know very much about him at all. But people have used their imaginations and done some drawings. So I've got one picture up here. It's an icon of Brendan there. And they kind of tell the story of the person with the picture in some ways. And you can see he's holding a cross and he's got the kind of saint halo-y thing. Excuse the technical language. What else can you see him holding apart from the cross? What's he holding? Yep. Brilliant. Yes, a model of a boat with a cross on its sail. That's because he was called Brendan. If you've got really good eyesight, you can see he was called Brendan the Navigator. Brendan the Navigator. And he's famous for his sea journeys. And there's another picture of him here. His boat was very small. But probably not quite that small. Let's have a look at the next slide. Now, this is called a coracle, and it's the kind of small boat that people used back in those days in Ireland where he was from. And they would go out to sea, at least a little way, to do fishing and a coracle. And there's about room for, I don't know, one person? You might squeeze two people in if you're good friends, just about. And very small boats. And you can see it's made of bits of wood woven together like baskets. And then they put animal skins underneath to make sure it doesn't sink. Brendan's boat was a little bit bigger than that, we think. So if we have a look at the next picture, it was built in the same way, but this is a modern version. Somebody decided to try and do the same journey that Brendan did. So they had a boat a bit like Brendan's. It's a bit bigger, but Brendan didn't go by himself. He took about 15 people with him. Can you imagine being in a boat that size, and you're one of about 15 or 16 people, and you were on the sea for days on end? That's horrendous, isn't it? Or very brave, my goodness. That's called a curra, according to my research anyway. So Brendan, he was a very brave chap. He went on this adventure, trusting really deeply in God, because God had given him a vision. He'd given him a vision of a distant shore, somewhere overseas, that God wanted him to go and take the good news of Jesus to. And so Brendan and his friends got into this little boat and they set sail. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know how to get there. They just trusted that God would guide them. It was amazing that they would do such a thing. It was an adventure of a lifetime for them. Now, we might never get to set in a boat quite like that. I hope I don't. But God certainly calls us to adventures, to the adventure of a lifetime, when God calls us to follow him. And we get to trust in God to guide us and to be with us. And we never know when we set out where those adventures will lead us. Well, when you're on the sea, there's one thing that has for a few hundred years has kept people on the sea really safe. It's helped them to find out where they're going and to help them to avoid the rocks and other dangers. That's a lighthouse. And that to me sounds like a cue for a song. So let's sing our next song. Stand as you're comfortable to do so as we sing My Lighthouse.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that whatever adventures you call us to, you are with us. Be with us now as we go to our separate places and continue to worship and learn about you and to love you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord be with you. We're going to hear a couple of passages from the Bible in a moment. First of all, we're going to hear from Isaiah and then from the Gospel of Luke, both stories of people in some way being called to an adventure and saying, yep, I'll go.
The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. A vision of God in the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy, is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
Today's gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked them to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Amen.
So we sing again, Faithful One, number 35. Please stand as you're comfortable to do so. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Our gospel passage today is Luke's account of Jesus' call of the first disciples. However, that call only comes at the very end of the passage that we heard. At the heart of the passage is a remarkable miracle as Jesus shows a seasoned fisherman how to catch fish. Simon, later Simon Peter, already knows Jesus. Jesus has been to Simon's house and cured his mother-in-law of a fever. And now Jesus has made use of Simon's boat as a kind of waterborne pulpit. But once Jesus has finished speaking, he directs Simon to put out into deep water and to let down the nets for a catch. Simon is skeptical, to say the least. He's a fisherman. His father was probably a fisherman. His father's father had probably been a fisherman. He knew how to catch fish. He'd been out all night doing what he knew how to do. And then Jesus says, well, I'm going to tell you what to do. Put out into deep water. And so Simon does as he's asked. And they are rewarded with an enormous, abundant catch. The catch is so huge that the nets begin to break. They needed help from another boat, so they called over to their friends. And the weight of the fish almost sank both of the boats. Simon had never seen a catch like it. Simon is utterly astonished. He'd seen God at work in Jesus. And so he doesn't hesitate to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. Something new awaits Simon and his friends. They're going on an amazing adventure with this man, Jesus. Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. I suppose the usual way of reading this miraculous event is seeing it as some sort of epiphany for Simon, seeing who Jesus is, the power that Jesus has, and also as a motivating moment. If you'd experienced anything like that, wouldn't you drop everything to find out more about this person? But today, I want to take a slightly different tack. I want to suggest that this event is something else too. That it's kind of a prophetic act, a foreshadowing of what is still to come. This, I think, is how Luke presents it. Jesus says to Simon that from now on you will be catching people. Or in older translations, you will be a fisher of men. To leave everything and to follow Jesus is nothing less than to put out into deep water. And if you're wondering where we might find a miraculous, abundant catch, then we need only skip ahead to the beginning of Luke's other book, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit descending like tongues of flame on the apostles. And Simon Peter is almost flung out into the city and begins to preach in the streets, preaching the good news. And that day, about 3,000 people were baptized. Or perhaps we could think more generally of the explosive way in which the church expanded in those first few years and decades. Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. What does the image of deep water suggest to you? A place of risk, danger even. A place of hiddenness, of mystery, of the unknown. Does it sound scary to be avoided? Or maybe an invitation to adventure? This week I've been reading a book by a business writer called Peter Block. He suggests that as human beings, we have a bias towards doing the things that we already know how to do. Or maybe things that we can very easily find out how to do. So I guess if you're a person with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Maybe if you're a property developer, even the horrors of Gaza look like a property development opportunity. He argues that this is a problem because we do these things instead of doing what really matters. He doesn't tell us what really matters. He's a business secular writer and not a theologian, though he comes from a Jewish background and his faith and biblical references abound in his writing. In a church, doing what we know how to do, well, it might mean that when we're faced with an issue or a challenge, we have a special service. We invite a speaker. We do some fundraising. These are the things we know how to do. And there's nothing wrong with doing any of those, unless perhaps they are diverting us from doing what really matters. So often, to act on what really matters is like putting out into deep water. We don't quite know how. We're unsure. It's a place of risk, a place of mystery. It's uncertain and unfamiliar. Yet if it really matters, if this is the place that Christ calls us to, and this is the place we would like to be going. When Brendan the navigator set off on his voyage, he didn't have a clue where he was going, only that Jesus was calling him. And that was what really mattered to him. Brendan, the navigator. How do you navigate when you don't know where you're going? I wonder, is that an ironic title? Or maybe it's something deeper. Maybe he was a navigator who found his way not by the stars, but by his faith in Jesus. He knew exactly where he was going. He was following Jesus. When Simon Peter put out into deep water, he did so at Jesus' direction. Jesus was with him in the boat. He put down the nets and the harvest was abundant. When Isaiah responded to the call of God, He didn't know where he was going. His vision showed him that he was already in the realms of deep water. But he was willing to go. How is Jesus seeking to direct you and me at this time, in this season, in this place? How might Jesus be seeking to direct this church community, the Methodists in this circuit? It may well be to a place where we don't have certainty, where we don't know, where we don't know how. A place of risk and unknowing. A place of mystery and maybe adventure. Whatever that is, you can be sure that what Jesus calls you to is something that matters, even if it does feel like deep water. And remember that when Jesus calls you, Jesus is with you. And that deep water can be a place of an abundant harvest. When Jesus called Simon Peter, he said, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Amen. The moment we're going to sing, and as we sing, an offering will be taken. If you're visiting, please don't feel like you have to put anything in. Lots of people here will be paying electronically and contributing electronically anyway. So lots of people will be just letting the plate pass on by. Just put in if you feel led to. So we're going to sing "My Jesus, My Savior," number 110. Stand as you're comfortable to do so.
Thank you.
Loving God, all that we have and are is gift. A gift of the breath in our bodies, of our very life. Receive these gifts that are gifts from you and use them for your kingdom in this place. We ask in Jesus' name. Now we turn to God with our prayers for others, our prayers of intercession. And there is a response to the words, Lord, hear us. Please respond, Lord, graciously hear us. Let us pray. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, we pray today for your church, carrying a gospel of forgiveness and peace, which is so much needed in our world. Thank you for those with a gift for sharing this good news in evangelism. Thank you for those with a gift for sharing this good news in the way they live. Give us the courage and the willingness to be your witnesses in ways that are generous and respectful, and which come from the overflow of our love and delight in you. Fill us with your love so that it overflows, so that the world may believe. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray today for countries where there is war, random violence, only a fragile peace. We think as ever of the Ukraine and of the Middle East. We also pray for those places that have slipped from our minds and from the news headlines. Give to those who are trying to make peace an inner certainty of their calling and constant patience in their negotiations. Help them to see that what they do matters, even though they may not know how. May hearts which have been darkened by violence discover a different light and a better way. May the ways of diplomacy and the ways of forgiveness coincide at the conference table. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for the spiritual health and welfare of our communities. First, for the well-being of this, our church community, that we may be a spiritual family, a household of faith, where all people are welcomed and nourished and able to flourish. But we pray also for the social communities of which we are a part, that you would make it a place where we can flourish and the weak be cared for, where this harmony and celebration we pray particularly for those who lead this community by election, by position or popular acclaim, for those who have power because of their wealth and their control of large organizations. May their leadership be that of the servant, and their goals those of the kingdom. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for those who are going through times of trouble, some perhaps in our families, some in our church, some in our wider circle of friends. We know you to be both Lord and healer of your broken world. And we ask you to touch with your generous love all those who are on our hearts today because of their special need. May your love flood their lives with hope and healing in spirit, mind, and body. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And Lord, into your hands we commit those who have run the race and kept the faith, even if that faith was known only to you and have now gone to their reward. May your light shine upon them forever and our lives be richer because of their memory. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Keep us, Lord, in the joy, the simplicity, and compassionate love of the gospel. Bless us this day and those who you have committed to your care. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we gather all our prayers this morning as we join together in the Lord's Prayer. The words are on the screen. Our Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we sing our closing hymn, number 123, Over All the Earth. Please do join us for tea, coffee. in the hall. Almighty God, you have given us a fresh glimpse of your glory and majesty. We are not worthy to walk with you, but you have declared that we may. Send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to speak your words and to show your love. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of us this day and evermore. Amen.